aerodynamic design, breathtaking acceleration, air-cooled, turbocharged engine, standard built-in DVD player, and of course, tinted windows. Introducing the IMAX Special Edition. Heated leather seats sold separately.
Hello, and welcome to the Talkcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, my friends, three wonderful dudes. Buster Hein. Hey, Buster.
Hey.
Leander Keeney's here. Leander.
Hey, Evan.
Hat tip to you, sir. Alex Excelsior Heath. Alex.
Hello.
Apparently, we have a delay going with Alex.
Great.
Oh, we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Actually, we might actually have a delay.
We do have a delay. Oh, this is going to be a great show.
This will be really fun. Yeah, Alex will be piping in 10 seconds late on every story. Lots of great Apple news to talk about. Kind of a lighter news week. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
We got a delay on Buster now, too. But we still got plenty of fun stuff. We are going to be talking about the new Steve Jobs and who will be playing him in that movie. That movie can't seem to keep their actors. We'll be talking about the new emojis that will be coming to your devices, hopefully somewhat soon. The Apple Watch pricing that kind of reportedly got leaked. We don't know if these prices are accurate, but we're going to talk about some of them. And they seem pretty... I think they're kind of crazy, guys. I'm going to be interested to hear what you guys think. And so much more. Stick around to the very end, too, because we're going to be talking about the different cases that we use to cover our iPhones, our iPads. I keep getting asked this on Twitter, so I thought maybe it'd be fun to have a conversation about it because I'm looking for a new case as well. I want to hear what you guys are using. Before we jump into the riotous fun we're all going to have this episode, I want to give a thanks to Lynda.com for supporting this episode. Yes, Lynda, sponsoring once again. I love Lynda. Now they have over 3,000 high-quality video courses for you to choose from, all taught by industry-leading experts. Lynda.com can help you master virtually any application or topics like business, marketing, management. Learn all you want for free with a 7-day free trial. Head on over to lynda.com. That's lynda.com/cultcast. You can learn all you want for free for 7 days. I want to thank Lynda for supporting this episode. And also Audible. I'm sure you guys have heard of Audible. They are that one service that you can go to access over 150,000 audiobooks, audio entertainment from fiction, nonfiction, bestsellers. They have every category imaginable. And actually, I think one of the things that people don't know about Audible, I think that people think it's a rental service, kind of like Netflix or Spotify, where you get to stream your music. But that's actually not at all what it's like. With Audible, all the books that you get from them are DRM-free, and they're yours to keep. So if you keep your Audible membership going, you can get a new book or books each month. But if you decide to cancel your service, you actually get to keep all the books that you've purchased. They're yours forever to listen to over and over and over again. And they have free apps for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone. And you can listen to Audible books on over 500 different MP3 players that are out there. And actually, one of our own members of the Cultcast crew has a book on Audible that I highly recommend. It's called, let me see if I can get it. Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products. Leander?
Yeah, that's the one. Ah! That's a killer book, especially on Audible.
I heard it's the best book on Audible.
It's probably the best book on Audible, yep.
And I was surprised to see in the reviews, you can see what every book is rated. And this one's actually rated 6 stars out of 5. Somehow it got so many good reviews.
That's right.
That it broke the Audible rating system.
Yep.
And you're the only book on there that actually has more positive reviews than Audible actually allows.
There you go.
What is your book about, Leander? For those that don't know, what is the Johnny Ive book about?
It's about Johnny Ive, the Apple's head designer. That's it.
It's about Tim Cook.
Yeah, I should have said that. It's about his, his education and his career at Apple, and it digs in a lot into all the products that he was oversaw for the last, you know, dozen years or so, all the big hits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty detailed. It's pretty good.
Didn't a really noted Apple analyst, I'm forgetting his name at the moment, say it was one of the best books on Johnny Ive he had ever read? Or was it one of the best Apple books he had read?
Well, not one. It was the best Apple
book. Oh, my apologies.
Not one.
I'll see myself out.
It was the best that book I've written about Apple to date. Because it goes into a lot of the process at Apple, which is the big problem, I think, with Walter Isaacson's book about Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
It didn't really talk about, you know, how Apple worked. And that was what I was trying to fix with this one, you know, was to talk about how Apple worked internally.
So you could get the best book on Apple ever written. Over at audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. You'll get it for free. When you sign up for a free trial with Audible, you get a free 30-day trial, and you get one free audiobook of your choice. So you can listen to the Johnny Ive book in its entirety for free. It'll be yours to keep forever. It helps us out. And, of course, we love it when you support our sponsors. That's audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. For a free audiobook of your choice, any audiobook, but may I suggest Johnny Ive, the genius behind Audible's, behind Apple's greatest products. I don't know why. I can never remember the title of that book. Okay, without further ado, I thought we could start with a really fun story. Buster, I'll go to you with this.
Okay.
I've always said I thought that the Surface Tab was probably incredibly useful in business situations.
Uh-huh.
And a new story came out today only confirming that fact when CNN was using their Microsoft Surface Tab. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. They found total new uses for it.
So tell us what happened, because I literally laughed out loud when I was reading this.
Well, as part of like their big election coverage, CNN was paid by Microsoft to use the Surface Pro for all their commentators
and coverage.
They were actually
paid for it.
Oh, yeah. It was this big sponsored deal, kind of like they did with the NFL. Only, you know, the commentators, instead of using the Surface Pros, they just used them to like prop up their iPad or use them to like disguise their iPad usage behind scenes, you know. It was pretty hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize that it was actually a sponsorship. Yeah, that is really embarrassing.
It's got a nice built-in stand, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the stand on the Surface Pro is, I mean, obviously very good.
Right.
If it can hold up not only the Surface, but the iPad upon which you prop on top of it and hold both of those up while you're doing your job. Oh, my gosh, that is so embarrassing. This was CNN, right?
Yeah.
This is kind of like when you see celebrities endorsing
like BlackBerry or Samsung. Yeah.
Didn't Alicia Keys do something like this?
Yeah, yeah. And then tweeting from their iPhone.
Like when they tweet, like, I'm loving my new BlackBerry. I use it to use Twitter every day. And then under that it says sent from iPhone.
Yeah. It was so funny because you saw like a lot of people on Twitter too, like talking, oh man, CNN, they got all Surface tablets. That's so awesome. Like the Microsoft fanboys coming out. Yeah. And then, you know, you see like they're actually using iPads. It was just, you know, hilarious.
You've got to know though, when you see those Surface tabs sitting there, you've got to, at some point you have to realize that it has to be paid. Because, I mean, news organizations and people on TV always try to hide that technology unless they're being sponsored.
Right.
And Microsoft seems like they're pretty progressive when it comes to sponsoring television shows and stuff.
Yeah, like, they've been really aggressive.
More like desperate.
Yeah.
Well, you know, progressive.
Aggressive or desperate.
It is. Sometimes it does look a little hokey when you're watching. I always forget the name of that crime show with LL Cool J. by the way, I say that intentionally. What's the name of that crime drama? Isn't it like CSI?
I have
Miami
no idea.
And they're always using Microsoft products, and they're like, we're gonna catch this guy. Let's Bing this, you know, piece of investigative evidence and see what it is. And they're using Bing to find stuff, and you're just like, dude, that is so staged. I don't think anyone in the crime lab is actually looking for clues on Bing.
Yeah.
Super, super funny. Let's talk about a little bit about currency, Alex.
Ooh.
We talked a little bit about currency last episode and retailers who were trying to build their own payment system called currency, and they had signed this exclusivity agreement, so they were banning Apple Pay. And we were all up in arms, specifically me, about how it was stupid that they were going to be doing this and not allowing us to use Apple Pay because some of them had actually churned off their NFC and their payment terminals. But it looks like we actually may not have to wait that long to use our iPhones in those stores. Yeah?
Yeah, well, they kind of sound a little like the mafia. Yeah. So they're like, oh, we're not going to fine you, but, you know, we can't say nothing bad will happen to your family if, you know, like it's... They're saying now that it's only going to be a few months or, well, they didn't say how many months. It could be 11, but months, not years, that there's this exclusivity arrangement with these retailers.
Before they'll be allowed to start using currency. Apple Pay.
Right, right. And then they were like, what was the quote? They was like, there will be consequences.
Really? They say that?
Pretty much all they'll say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said there are consequences, so if you decide not to keep the agreement that you made with the other merchants, we're not going to put a lot of energy in helping you get launched. So basically, like, yeah, I don't know. They're playing this weird game of intimidation when they don't really have any leverage to intimidate with.
That's exactly so, it. It's like, oh, you're not going to help me launch currency. The app that has like 2,000 one-star reviews on iTunes now because everyone hates it. Everyone is preemptively hating on it just so that people won't download it. You know, like I don't understand the mentality of how they think they could possibly turn this around.
Yeah, I'd love to be in those executive meetings there and hear like what their plans are to combat. Yeah.
What do they think the benefit of it is? I mean, to give deals to customers or...
That's what, you know, they're saying in like one example they used in the Verge interview was, you know, we can give you lower gas prices because, you know, we don't have to use the credit card. So, you know, your gas could be 10 cents cheaper if you're using currency, stuff like that. Also, they loyalty programs so you can get, you know, money back from stores that you buy stuff from.
What a farce. There's no way if they save 3% on credit card fees, they're going to pass that off to consumers. I mean, some of them probably will. But the majority of them won't.
Right, exactly. There's no rule that, oh, we saved this money on credit card fees, so now we're just going to give that back. No, that's going to go to increasing their margins.
Yeah, that's what exactly. I think. Totally. Also, wasn't there a potential class action lawsuit?
There was,
works regarding CVS and Rite Aid.
Yeah, because they both disabled their, you know, it's not illegal for them to stop accepting Apple Pay, but they both did it at like the exact same time. So a law firm is investigating whether there was collusion or a conspiracy to, you know, thwart Apple Pay by CVS and Rite Aid or MCX.
You know, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but I think an interesting piece of this whole story is that soon all these stores are going to have to upgrade their payment terminals to newer models because I think the credit card companies are saying, hey, if you don't make your terminals more secure or your terminals don't include some new secure element like NFC and there's some other ones, that if someone, you know, runs a fraudulent transaction through your machine, instead of us reimbursing and being on the line for that cost, now you are. So for the stores, seems to be a motivation for them to upgrade, in which case NFC could be everywhere all of a sudden. What are you going to say?
Right, it's by October 2015. Yeah, it's by October 2015 that rule's in effect.
Oh, and that's basically next year.
It's a shift of it's a shift of fraud liability. So basically it's now the new rule will be that whoever has the weakest link in the chain is the person that's responsible for fraud. So because the credit card companies are going to start issuing credit cards that have those chips in them that are more secure, that have already been used in Europe for a while. And so if the customer has one of those cards, but the merchant doesn't have a terminal that will support it and they just will support the traditional magnetic stripes, if there's fraud, then the merchant's bank is at fault. So, both parties have to be equally secure. So, yeah, it's going to cause everyone to start upgrading. And why not throw in NFC?
Well, if you're going to be upgrading, I mean, NFC is probably, I would guess, that is going to be a pretty ubiquitous option on a lot of these terminals because it's just such a commonplace technology now. You know, when you said The Weakest Link, I couldn't help but think of that old television show, The Weakest Link, where that lady, you know, like yells it in a British accent. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Trevor, you are The Weakest Link.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I think they should play that. They should try to work that into the terminal somehow when you make your payment, if it doesn't go through. Just my suggestion, and I'm a brilliant marketer. Okay, enough about currency. Let's talk about the iPad Pro. Sounds like someone is MacGyvering a bomb over there. Leander, is that you?
It's Jim making a cup of coffee. I told him to be quiet, but he's like purposely making as much noise as possible.
He's like throwing his utensils into the sink. He's like, I'm done with this spoon.
He wants to be on the show, by the way.
He does?
He does, yeah.
I mean, is he
good looking? Oh, yeah, we should totally have Jim on the show.
Is he naturally good looking and charming like all of us?
He has a face for radio, but...
Oh, well, then he'll be perfect. Alex, tell me about the 12-inch iPad Pro developments, because we got some new rumors this week that seem like they actually might be somewhat viable.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to look at who was that reported
Michael Takara.
Michael Takara. Yeah, I forgot I wrote the story.
Yeah, you did write this story.
Michael Takara, which has reported some good stuff, actually. They nailed the iPhone 6. They nailed the 6 Plus name when no one else thought it was that. Everybody thought that was totally... But anyway, they're saying that it's going to be 12.2 inches instead of 12.9. So, yeah. 0.5 inches difference. That's
sometimes
and
it's a big
that it's going to probably be... Sometimes. but that it's going to be used primarily like a Surface. So it's going to be used in landscape more than portrait,
like,
and
it'll
have like stereo audio, right? So and like stereo speakers, so I could see them definitely integrating some Beats in there, maybe pumping some Dr. Dre through those things.
For sure.
And they're saying it's going to be about as thin as the new iPhones, so 7 millimeters, which is right in between the 6 and the 6 Plus.
All right.
Yep.
Leander, this has got to excite you as one who's been waiting for this forever. Plus, you were saying last show, I think, that you actually always use the iPad in that orientation anyway.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm super excited about it.
So if they release this, are you going to ditch your iPad Air 2? Just throw it in the trash?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to fling it. I'm going to just toss it like a frisbee.
Can you wait until that guy on the motorcycle is outside starting it up and then try to hit him with it?
He'll be here any minute, yeah.
he's got impeccable timing. He always starts up his Harley right as we hit record. Wasn't there also part of this rumor saying that it was going to potentially launch early in 2015? Did you say that, Alex?
Right, yeah. Well, reports were saying that it was going to launch in 2014 with the other iPads, but I don't know how much I believe this, but there was a report that said that iPhone 6 demand and 6 Plus demand kept them from being able to manufacture it. So they're pushing it back. It just, what it sounds like is that it's just not been ready, but it'll come sometime in early 2015. I could see Apple doing another March event or something like that. They haven't done one of those in a while, but if they're trying to position this as a, you know, workhorse enterprise PC replacement, why not hold an event for it?
And that's interesting. I was going to ask you guys about this. So how they would launch it, because it can't just be another iPad with a bigger screen. It would have to be a significant departure from the iPads that we've seen so far in order for them to warrant its own media event, don't you think? I mean, and they can't soft launch this thing. They can't just put it on their website and be like, hey, now this new iPad's available. It kind of seems like it would have to be drastically different than what we already have. Otherwise, why would people show up for a news event? Leander, what do you think?
Well, I think the hardware is going to be much the same, but the software is going to be different. The big, you know, the killer feature with the bigger screen will be split screen multitasking.
Okay.
So they got to get that ready. And I guess, you know, when's that going to come?
It could potentially be ready. I mean, maybe that, because we talked about split screen multitasking ages ago. Alex, I think you wrote a story about it.
Yeah.
And because you had used the jailbroken version, hadn't you?
Yeah.
And we had talked about how this would eventually be coming to iOS, we thought. And maybe it's ready. It's just going to be used in this other version of the iPad. So maybe that's going to be like one of the significant features.
I would have thought so, especially for business use. Yeah.
Yeah, because
this thing's supposed to have stereo speakers right on the front, and it's supposed to be, you know, kind of a multimedia type tablet. So it's definitely, you know, like it's going to be pitched at everybody, I think, business and home users.
I don't think, Alex, though, they're going to be like, includes Beats from Dre.
Right.
I just don't see that. Because, you know, they include that on some laptops now, but it's kind of like a chintzy branding attempt, in my opinion.
They don't have to say that it's, I mean, just put like a tiny little Beats logo and don't
brand. They're not going to do that.
I mean, yeah, they are.
That's so HP. That's so HP.
I'm calling
I hope
right
that they
now.
Put a little Beats or Dr. Dre icon on there. There's a big old joint hanging out of his mouth with smoke coming off of it. Now that all, is something I would buy.
I'll bet you all one pet of Buster's beard.
A pet of right Buster's? You mean like just like one single stroke of your hand upon it?
Like a stroke, yeah.
I'm not sure yeah. I could withstand the power of such an erotic action.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, before we move on, I want to talk about, or we're going to be talking about next, the Steve Jobs movie, which has had another change in actors. And I thought it'd be fun to not only talk about who might be taking over the role next, potentially, but also who we would definitely not want to see take the role. So be thinking about that. And we'll talk about that next. And we're also going to be covering our favorite cases for our iPads and iPhones and just or towards the end of the show. Before we do that, though, I want to thank Lynda.com for supporting this episode. You know, Lynda now has 3,076 video courses from which you can choose from. And you can peruse all of those video courses, you know, at your leisure on your iPhone, on your iPad, on your Mac, anytime you'd like, to get your learn on. And I think it's really great. You know, last time we spoke about Lynda, I think they had just about 3,000 video courses. They're adding new content every week. So every week you go back, there's new stuff, and they're always bringing out new courses to cover new applications, new topics like business or management or marketing or mobile marketing. I mean, they get really niche with some of this stuff. And if you're anything like me, when you're trying to learn something new, you probably do a search on the internet, you start looking at forums, you start looking at YouTube videos, and you can definitely learn that way. I mean, a lot of things that I have kind of gotten good at, I have started off that way. In fact, when I was first starting to edit this show, this was the first time I had ever really edited an audio product. I've done video before, so I was kind of familiar with the interface of the software, but I had never used GarageBand, and I just kind of figured it out. And I would argue that that's a good way to do it, but Lynda.com makes it a lot easier, and they put all the content in one place. You're not wasting your time going around searching through forums and finding information that's old, which happens a lot when you're on the internet. You just find something that's totally outdated or just downright incorrect because you're getting some piece of information from someone who doesn't really totally know what they're doing. Lynda.com has all professionals. The people that they have teaching these courses are experts in their field. And aside from just teaching you how to learn certain applications, they teach you tips of the trade, so how to do certain things quicker, what shortcuts you could be using to be more efficient in your workload, or, you know, just how to do things in a way so that you have workflows that are really professional workflows. So you're getting all this information that you wouldn't even know that you didn't know. So you would never think to search on the internet for some of this stuff. But as I said, it's not just about learning applications. I mean, there's a lot of topical stuff on there too. Business management, marketing, you could also learn photography. There's a lot of topics that you could go in and learn, and they get really niche, as I said earlier. I mean, there's some stuff that's like really super niche. Like you could learn how to increase your political savvy, ooh, which is arguably something I need to do after seeing all the political news recently and realizing how little I know about all of it. And yet still being able to cast a vote. In any case...
Wait, you don't just pick the name you like the most?
Okay. Done. In any case, I just think Lynda is phenomenal. It's a wonderful resource if you're trying to learn something. Check it out. Head on over to lynda.com/cultcast. That's lynda.com/cultcast. You got a 7-day free trial. And you can learn all you want. You'll have access to Lynda's entire library. And also, if you decide to buy a membership, they have two levels. They have the basic membership, which is great, gives you access to everything. And they also have a premium membership, which gives you actually access to all the practice files that the instructor was actually using in the courses that you're watching. So if you want to practice a skill on, like, let's say a Photoshop file, you actually have access to those files. So you have two levels of membership there if you decide to continue. Lynda.com, lynda.com/cultcast. One thing, Lynda, for supporting this episode. Alrighty, guys, let's move on to this Steve Jobs movie, which we've talked about several times. And we all kind of seem like we're going to be excited to see this, depending on who the actor ends up being for the lead role of Steve Jobs. It seems that Christian Bale is actually out now, and he is reportedly going to be replaced, or I guess he is in talks to be replaced by Michael Fassbender. Do you guys know who that is?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea who that actually was. I had to look him up on Google.
No, are you kidding me?
No. I'm being dead serious.
Dude, he's one of the hottest actors right now.
He is incredibly sexy. Is he Irish or Scottish?
I don't know.
Well, half Irish, half German.
Scottish.
Okay. So he played...
He's half German.
He played Magneto in the X-Men movie. I knew his face. Like, when I saw him, I knew exactly who he was. I just never knew his name. So my question
dude,
to
he's
you...
Dude, he's had so many good roles.
Like what else has he been in?
12 Years a Slave.
Haven't seen it.
Prometheus.
12 Years a Slave.
Haven't seen it.
Prometheus. Inglourious Basterds.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, that was great, too. He's great, man. I love him and everything he's been in, really.
The only thing I've seen him in is X-Men, frankly, as far as I can think. What else has he been in, Alex?
I've just listed, like, four. Yeah. Hello.
Okay, so that was it. Okay, well, those are all movies that I actually want to see. did you guys like Prometheus, by the way? That's pretty high on my list.
I liked it, yeah.
Okay. I want to see that. So, apparently, he's in talks to play Steve Jobs. My question to you guys is, yay? Nay? What do you think?
I'd be down with him. He's a really good actor, I think. And he has a lot of range.
Yeah.
He looks nothing like Steve Jobs, though.
Yeah, but I don't think... How much do you really have to look like an actor? I mean
don't you kind of have to resemble him?
Like 50 people she doesn't look like, you know?
No. If they can make Joseph Gordon-Levitt look like a young Bruce Willis for Looper, they can make him look like Steve Jobs.
Which, by the way, he did look a lot like Bruce Willis in that movie, didn't he? I don't think the makeup actually was what did it for him. I think he mimicking Bruce Willis's mannerisms, you know, like the way he looked and like the way he kind of like squints his eyes and like mumbles sometimes, that was spot on. And when he started acting that way, I was actually really impressed. Maybe we could get Joseph Gordon-Levitt to be in the role. What do you guys think about that?
No.
I don't know if he's old enough. Yeah.
Well, you guys are just saying he doesn't need to look like him. We can make him look like anyone we want. He could play Wallace.
Like Fassbender has actually, like, this maturity to him, you know, whereas Gordon-Levitt is like a millennial still. He's still like a little kid.
Isn't he like 50?
Yeah, but still.
Okay, so you guys are excited about it. I mean, I could kind of go either way. I think Fassbender has actually been, in the stuff I've seen him in, which I think I've only seen him in two things, he's actually been really great. So my question...
I still think it's going to be Daniel Day-Lewis. It's just coming back to him.
I think he would be a good option, but we haven't heard anything about him, you know, being in talks.
No, I know.
But there's been so many huge names. I wouldn't be surprised if it ever happens.
It's just my pipe dream. Oh, well, you know they've approached him. Like, of course, if we've thought about it, you don't think Aaron Sorkin has?
Yeah, probably. You're right. Yeah. Well, why was it that Christian Bale, why were they saying that he was out? Like, what was it about that role?
He said he wasn't fit for it.
Really?
For some reason. Yeah, I wonder if the internet, like, kind of had a play in that, you know?
What do you mean?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. It just seemed weird that he dropped out and he had like tons of attention on the internet. It was getting lots of hype and maybe he just, I don't know.
Yeah, but because everyone seemed to be pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
This is an actor who's played Batman, Moses, and Jesus, but he doesn't feel right for Steve Jobs.
I mean, essentially the role is a mixture between Jesus and Batman. So, I mean, seems like he would have been perfect for it. Yeah, I think he would have been really great. I kind of wonder what drove that decision for him. And it must have been a really tough decision to look at a role and be like, yeah, I mean, I'm probably not the best fit for this because it's such a high profile role. You know, you think that in and of itself would have drawn him to it. So, okay, with that in mind, I was curious to hear maybe some actors that we thought we definitely don't want to see in the role. Because there are so many to choose from. Buster, what'd you say?
Noah Wiley.
Noah Wiley.
Oh, I don't know. No. He'd be good.
Wait. Noah Wiley, isn't he the guy that played him in the other movie?
Don't give me that crap! You're pirating the software off our Mac prototypes!
Right. which is the best movie about him so far.
The Pirates of Silicon Valley, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you, Buster. I think that he's had his run.
What?
I'm going to go ahead and say Sylvester Stallone.
I'm very happy about that.
Hey, yo, Waz. Is that computer ready or what? Leander, what's your pick?
What's Happy Gilmore? What's his name? Oh, my God.
You mean Adam Sandler?
See that pretty girl in the mirror there.
What mirror where?
Who could that attractive girl be?
Adam Sandler, yeah. Definitely not him.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would actually be a movie I would see. Does anyone got a good Adam Sandler on file? Alex.
No.
Yeah, I know you got
one. No, I wish. I wish. I used to have a Waterboy version of Adam Sandler, but I haven't seen it in a while.
Alex,
but yeah, I think Sylvester Stallone would be great. But
well, don't steal my pick. Good. Yeah, give me one of yours.
I think Sean Connery could probably kill it.
This is the sound a doggy makes. Mr. Connery.
Moo.
No.
Well, that's the sound your mother made last night.
Oh, yeah, you could.
He is like, isn't he 85 years old now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he you
like,
have to die.
Steve Wozniak. Come over here with your Macintosh, and I'm going to show you how to assemble a Macintosh computer.
That's solid.
I'd see that.
Maybe Chris Walken could do the role.
Oh, that would actually be really good. With Seth Rogen, oh my gosh. They're smoking weed together. pass me that doobie.
We're going to make Apple cool again.
Oh, hey, I think we should name it after a fruit. What do you think about Apple?
What other actors we got? Let's come up with a couple more. I'm actually having a lot of fun.
Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Oh gosh. Well, yeah.
You know, Texas Walker Ranger. What's his face?
Oh, Chuck Norris. Classic. Steven Seagal. You're going to build a what? Except
Seagal might be quite good.
Who, Seagal? He actually kind of looks like his distant like uncle. So that actually might work. He's got like the long hair too. Plus, if they did Seagal, they could turn it into like Steve Jobs, the action-packed thriller. They could turn it into like a kung fu movie.
Right, and he goes and beats up Sergey Brin and Larry Page, the Google guys. Would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
And how like he had all these obstacles, and the only way he could overcome them was with karate.
The motorcycles. There's a whole motorcycle gang just moved in here.
I really think Matthew McConaughey would make the best Steve Jobs.
I think he actually could pull it off.
I have an iPad before anybody else had an iPad.
We're all just rocks in a void.
Things I love about technology is I just keep getting older and they stay the same age.
Did you guys see Jim Carrey's Lincoln ad where he's impersonating Matthew McConaughey on SNL?
I did
I
not.
It was hilarious.
That sounds like something need to see.
It is so.
Wait. When did that air?
Like last week.
Oh man, I need to watch that. So it's like Matthew McConaughey in a Lincoln car commercial.
Yeah, have you not seen those Lincoln commercials?
I haven't seen those commercials. No, I don't ever see commercials. Gosh.
They're so bad.
So who's actually in the commercials?
Matthew McConaughey. He's
Jim Carrey.
Talking about how he drove a Lincoln before anybody paid him to drive one.
I feel safe in here to drive around all night long, contemplating the important questions of life. Who am I? Why am I here? When I'm done rolling up this booger, should I eat it or throw it out the window?
And now he drives her a Mercedes or BMW.
Jim Carrey's like, I understand driving a Lincoln after doing the Lincoln lawyer. That would have made sense.
All right. Leander can't hear anything. Can you guys?
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's doable.
Leander just said he's going to restart.
Keep doing that news cruise.
Yeah, all right.
Train wreck.
All right, guys, we're just going to go ahead and address the fact that we are having some audio issues today. We have tried several things to get the audio working right. We're not sure exactly what the issue is, but you know what? We're just going to keep plowing on through. So let's just keep doing this news cruise. Leander just had to hop off. He's going to try and restart, maybe get his audio back up and running. He said he couldn't hear what we were saying, which is probably not a bad thing. So he'll be back hopefully by the end of the show, sometime in there. So Buster, let's move on. Let's talk about this keyboard or these new emojis that we're going to be getting.
New emojis, racially diverse.
Dude, I love emojis. I use them to express myself. And I've often felt that the one that I needed just wasn't there to really express myself well. So what are we getting? How are emojis changing?
So basically 151 of the character-based emojis, the ones that look like people, they'll now get like five different skin tone options. So like a long press on your keyboard will pull up a black emoji or a yellow jaundiced emoji.
Or one that looks like Mitch McConnell.
Paler one. Yeah.
The peach one is really weird. It's like super duper peach. No one is that color.
Yeah, well, you know, they had to make enough to address everybody, and apparently there are, man.
So are they making any new designs, or is it just, are they going to, I was reading that they're actually just going to make it so that the emojis that are currently existing are able to be changed into different colors.
Right, yeah. So it's the ones that you already have. You'll just be able to change the skin tone. There'll be like five different color options, or, you know, they'll, or a company like Apple could just list all of the variants on one page, but that would be a lot of new emoji.
Well, I saw some new designs in that, and when you on the piece that you wrote on Call to Mac, I actually saw some new ones I've never seen before.
Like what?
Like the one with the dude with the little spiky hairdo. Is that one? Yeah, that's already.
I think that was an example. By Unicode, okay. Just how it would like different emoji would be affected, and then like below that, there's also like a picture of like medium brown shaded Apple emoji smiley faces.
Oh, okay. So when is this actually going to be deployed?
No word yet. Just the Unicode Consortium, they've just proposed a draft for like how they could address like diversity in the emoji key set.
I think
this is a very key issue.
Yes. I think my favorite part about this story is they're using the Fitzpatrick scale, which is a recognized standard in dermatology that divides skin into categories ranging from dark brown skin to pale white Mitch McConnell skin.
Yeah.
I just had no idea that we were categorized into these different skin tone scales. I think I'm going to go with like the olive one. If they come out with like an olive skin tone, that's the one I'm going to roll
go,
with.
Yeah. I'm going to go with sun-kissed caramel.
Sun-kissed caramel? That's a very specific option. I'm not sure they're going to have one like that, Alex. I was thinking you could probably roll the pale white as a you know backup just in case.
You pasty teabag.
Let's talk about the iWatch. I'm sorry. My apologies. The Apple Watch. Let's see here. French Apple website iGen.fr is reporting pricing for the Apple Watch. And we've talked about this previously. I can't say it's that shocking. So the lowest one, the sport model 350, and then the steel one, $500.
That's
and again,
not bad.
This is reported, so we don't know if this is actually accurate.
How is this French site going to know Apple Watch pricing? Give me a break.
Maybe they just totally guessed. It's essentially what we've been doing.
Yeah.
But $500 for a steel version, that seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Although I did hear that those steel bands are incredibly complicated to manufacture, so it could end up being quite a bit more expensive. And then the gold watch prices between $4,000 and $5,000. Alex, you like gold.
I love gold.
Will you be donning the $5,000 Apple Watch?
Oh, yes.
You're going to need a raise, I think, in order to be able to. Maybe you can get a review unit from Apple.
Yeah, I'm going to ask for a review unit.
Again,
yeah, they'll give you one.
I'm sure they'll overnight it to you. They won't even send it like UPS.
Oh, a personal delivery by Tim Cook.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I heard you liked gold.
I heard you liked gold. I have said this before, I'll say it again. I'm very curious to see how a $5,000 Apple device sells, because I was reading comment threads of people who were talking about this story in the various articles I was reading, and everyone kind of echoed the same sentiment in that when you have a $5,000 Rolex, a $5,000 Tag Heuer, or whatever, however you pronounce that, really prestigious brand.
Heuer.
Those things don't really depreciate very quickly, and then the Apple Watch in a year is going to be worth not a whole lot of money. So,
well, Apple products always like hold their value pretty well compared to other tech products.
Yes.
There's a great theory on how that's going to hold its value, because Apple Watch is based on a system on a chip, right? That they can potentially, and I mean, probably the sensors will also on the hardware itself get upgraded, but what if the gold itself stays the same, and then you can swap out the system on a chip every time Apple upgrades it once a year? So you go into the Apple store and get a service repair, which is very common in the high-end luxury watch industry.
Is it really? Yeah, they replace the innards of a watch.
Well, you go in and get it serviced and get the mechanics checked up. So what if it's a modern day equivalent of that, where Apple swaps out your system on a chip? You get to retain the gold, and then the gold actually holds more value, because 10 years down the line, you get to say that you had the original Apple Watch gold case or whatever.
So you would go in and they would literally take out the internals. Cause I mean,
right.
I was reading that all the internals are, you know, pretty much surrounded in resin. They pretty much bake the whole thing into a giant piece of plastic. So they would just pull that out and put a new one in.
Yeah, that's the theory. That's the theory on how the gold watch could hold its value, and that people would buy a $5,000 watch knowing that they'll be able to upgrade it every year with a $300, $200 service fee.
Well, along that same logic, though, you would think that you would also be able to do it with the steel version. And
no, I think that's going to be an important differentiator between the top tier one and the mid to low tier ones, because those ones are seen as more, they're more of like daily drivers and like iPhone equivalent watches. Like there's stuff that's more for the common man,
and kind of like guys like you and Buster.
No, I mean, I'm going for gold. I don't know about you, but the gold one, I can totally see it being that way. Right. So, like I said, the gold actually increases in value, based on history, just like current watches do. Cause you can say down the road that you had the, you know, original Apple Watch, and it lasts because it's made out of solid gold. So
now that is an interesting concept. I had never thought about that. I hadn't heard anyone say that. That would be very interesting. So yeah, that would actually make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
because that way, you know, you buy the watch once, and every year, you know, you don't have to worry about the technology because the new technology is available to you. You just go in and have it swapped out. And you were saying you thought it would cost, this is probably just totally a guesstimate, right? Like $200.
No, it's totally a guesstimate. Yeah. I mean, people that are willing to spend $5,000 on a watch would probably easily drop $500 on a yearly.
That's probably upgrade. True. Yeah.
So
to get the newest and best.
Right.
I mean, that really makes sense. That way your watch is more of a timeless piece of technology.
Right. And there's rumors that Apple Retail is supposed to be building like entire rooms that are for trying on the watch. And it's easy to imagine there being like this, you know, cushy service room where, you know, exclusive hoity-toity Apple Gold Edition or whatever it's called, Apple Edition, Apple Watch Edition customers go in to get their watches serviced, and it builds that brand loyalty and that, you know, they're going in to see Apple employees once a year and stuff. So yeah, I could see it.
People are saying they're going to set up like their own boutique inside the Apple store, like a separate room.
Well, I can see it being like, oh, you need to get your Apple Watch Edition service. Come on into the back. And it's like,
I don't think that's going to happen.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly.
I would be shocked if they were supposed to be retooling the open or.
Well, I think what Alex is saying is, maybe you're not saying this, Alex, is that it's not going to be in the main Apple store itself. It's going to be in the back room.
You're not going to be next to like the mom and the three kids on the bouncy ball trying to like pick snot off of the keyboard when you're getting your $5,000 gold watch service.
Right.
Yeah, but then you would have to renovate every Apple store in the world. I don't see that happening at all. But
I mean, dude, some of the reports have been saying is that they're working.
Yeah, those are just dream ideas, I think, at this point. Same with the swapping out the internals. I think a lot of people are just doing a lot of guessing.
Yeah, I mean, something's got to give, I think. I don't think that I could be wrong here. Well, time will tell. It just doesn't make sense to me that you're going to sell a $5,000 watch that becomes outdated every year. That just seems crazy to me. Of course, I'm not the guy who buys $5,000 watches. All my watches are at least $10,000. So it's hard for me to think in a way like that. Okay, well, let's go ahead and move on to the last segment of the show. We are going to talk about what we use on our iPhones and our iPads. And I want to know, do you guys go nude or not?
Because I wish I could go nude.
Historically speaking, I've been a nude guy. And I was commenting on Twitter the other day that it just shocks me that people buy this, you know, $1,000 phone, which is how much they cost if you just buy them outright, and then puts like this ugly 25-cent injection molded plastic around it to protect it, and they never actually get to enjoy like the industrial design that Johnny Ive and team spent months and months and months perfecting and agonizing over. And I just got to say, I'm shocked. There are so many ugly cases out there. If I had to give it a number, I'd say 95% of cases that I see are absolutely but horrifically ugly.
You guys with me on that? Higher than that. Yeah, it's like 99.95%.
Why aren't cases better looking? I don't know.
Everybody has such a hard like. I agree with you. Like, I like the nude look and like being able to appreciate it. And I kind of like it getting scuffed up and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've broken too many iPhones lately to like go nude. Mm-hmm. So I do like the Apple case for the iPhone 6 Plus, the leather one. It's simple and good.
I use the Apple case until 2 days ago. I got a case that has replaced my Apple case for the first time because it adds a slot on the back to hold three of my cards, so I don't carry a wallet anymore.
And it's
made out of high quality leather, handcrafted in the Netherlands. Not making this up. It's by a small company called Mujo. Mujo. And I cannot recommend this case highly enough. Like, it feels as like quality, well made as Apple's case, if not more so. Huh. And then it also has this slot on the back. And I've been wanting to have this forever because I only carry like three cards with me anyway.
This thing's made out of leather?
Oh yeah, man.
Wow. It looks like it's made out of something else. It must be like formed leather or something.
It feels super good. Like, it feels super solid. And
it looks just like the Apple one, only with a little pocket for your credit cards on the back.
Yeah. Which is just killer for me because I keep my ID and two cards in there, and now I don't need to carry my little billfold around anymore.
Dude, it looks good.
Yeah, it's really good. Nice.
I like how minimalist it is too. I mean, it just kind of covers the corners.
I would say it's a ripoff of Apple's case if it didn't have the card thing on the back. Like, if you like, for listeners, imagine Apple's case with a little slot for three cards on the back, and that's what it is.
Yeah, it looks like it just kind of covers the necessary parts of the iPhone to kind of keep it protected.
Yeah.
But it leaves the volume buttons unobscured, which is really nice because
all of the ports, all of the buttons. Yeah.
I'm using a bumper case right now. That was kind of my compromise. I was like, I need to have something on my phone because the 6 Plus is really, it's heavy. It's slippery, especially in my big sweaty man hands, and it's easy to drop. And I know eventually I'm going to drop it. So I'm like, I need to have a minimal level of protection. And unlike a case that covers the whole thing, you know, like the bumper's nice because you still get to see the full front, the full back. But then you have these really wonky buttons that cover the actual iPhone buttons that never work very well. So it's kind of hard to like press the volume buttons up and down and to turn the phone on and off because now the buttons are hard to click. So I'm still looking for something else. And actually, if any of our listeners know of anything out there that is really minimal, like a bumper case or something that leaves the front and the back of the case or of the iPhone fully visible and fully able to, you know, touch it and stuff, that would be really awesome. I'm looking for something else.
Why do you like the bumper case though? Like, I feel like the bumper cases like just don't give enough protection for like the annoyance that they put on your phone, you know?
Well, why would you say it's an annoyance?
I mean, if you're going to add something to your phone, like a little strip or whatever to like, I just feel like I would rather have it, better coverage, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it is a trade-off. I mean, if I drop this thing and it lands on one of the corners, the bumper case is going to protect it. If it lands on the front of the back, that's kind of questionable. I mean, the bumper case sticks out far enough from the top and the bottom that I do think it would prevent the screen from hitting the ground, but not if there's like a rock or something on the ground, it's going to hit the phone. But, you know, then we go to the other kinds of cases, like the one Alex has, where it covers the full phone. You know, it's like, again, for me, I want to see the actual device. I don't want to stick some freaking case on there, because then you might as well have a flipping Windows phone that you're using. You can't actually get to enjoy the aluminium edges and all the little intricacies that are, you know, honed and shaped on the phone. And I really enjoy that part of the phone.
To be honest, it makes me feel cool. When I see somebody using like their iPhone 6 without a case on, yeah, and I see the antenna bands at the end, like behind it, I think, man, it looks ugly. It looks better with a case on it.
I feel like the space gray one, the antenna bands are less noticeable. But yeah. Did you get a white one?
Yeah.
Okay, the white ones are very visible, as are the gold.
My gold one,
which is actually a good thing for Alex.
Yeah, with my gold one with the Mujo case is balling. I love it. I got the tan one with the white iPhone.
Wait, you got awesome. A gold iPhone?
Yeah, dog.
You didn't know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Of course I did.
How did you not know that?
I'm getting a gold MacBook when they come out.
He's having some major dental work performed in the next 6 months too. You're really gonna like how he looks when he smiles.
My grill.
What about for your iPads?
Gold.
iPads, nothing. I feel like you don't need a case with an iPad unless you use like a keyboard
I use a case on mine.
I do too. I mean, I'm not right now because I haven't found one that I actually like. But what are you using, Alex?
I'm pulling it out so I can see the name. It's because I've had it for so long.
Yeah.
It's, I want to say, okay, well, I don't know the name, but if you go to thewirecutter.com, it's their pick. They tested like 60 iPad cases, and they said this was the best one for general use. And I've been using it for about a year with my iPad Air, and I love it. It's got the Apple. It's basically like a little bit more sturdy, yet still slim Apple smart cover case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a back to it, so it protects the back and it protects all the edges. Mm-hmm. And it's got that magnetic flap, so you can turn it into a little stand and stuff. It's really well made. The name is not
Case Crown Omni.
Yeah, the Omni. Okay, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is actually one of the ones I was looking at. It's on Amazon.
Yeah,
And it looks like it's made out of pleather, right? It's like fake leather.
Yeah, but it feels really nice. Like it doesn't feel cheap at all.
But see, this one covers the back.
Yeah, exactly. But who cares?
Dude, why? You have this beautiful device and you're going to cover it in cheap plastic.
Because I don't want to get it dinged, man. That beautiful device gets dinged so easy.
But now you don't get to see the beautiful device because it's covered in cheap plastic.
Why would you want
to
see it dinged?
Buster, I feel
like
what?
the dings kind of like it scrushes it up. It makes it look used and human and, you know.
I'd
like
rather have the
something
human
people
case.
See, I don't know. I disagree because I also think like iPads use differently than my iPhone. It stays in the house or in my bag. So that's why I never put cases on them.
Right.
And
there's nothing better than an Apple case that's been like worn, like a leather Apple case. And it's got the like, you know, oils from your hands on it. And it's all kind of like muddled brown. Oh,
it's just greasy.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah. You're really selling me now. I think I'm going to go out and purchase one. I mean, the leather case, just like the plastic case, it's still the same issue for me. It's like you're covering up this whole device. So you buy this device, and partially because you think it looks really good, you love like the aesthetics of it, and then you immediately place it into a, you know, $25 case that covers the entire thing, and you don't get to enjoy it anymore. All you get to see is the screen. For me, that's the main issue.
I'm more utilitarian, man. Like, I like the phone for the look, but like I like the software and the way it just works as a whole. I care about that more than I care about the back of the phone. So like I'd rather have my phone protected and have an awesome phone that I know works well than have this naked phone that's going to get dinged if I, you know, run my fingernail across the back. Because I have long nails, let me tell you.
I noticed. I was going to mention something to you. There's this thing called fingernail clippers. I was going to get you some for Christmas.
Never click these things.
I'm always caressing mine with a microfiber cloth, you know, to kind of pick up all the oils. I like to keep mine nice and shiny. So I would say 3 or 4 times a day, I probably wipe mine down. And so it's spotless all the time. The front and the back have like not a mark on it. And when I'm using
it. That just sounds kind of weird.
Well, I might be a little too anal about it. But also I just like to keep my Mac stuff and my iPhone stuff in good running order. You know, we pay a lot of money for this stuff. Plus you have stolen, you got to buy it twice. So I paid double for this. And it just makes me feel good to keep, you know, my technology in tip-top running order. I know there's people out there who are listening who are nodding their heads right now and saying, yes, Erfan's right, as usual, and Alex is wrong. We expected that. any other cases, any other good cases that you guys have gotten to get your hands on? Because, you know, there's just not a lot of stuff available for...
I've got
if something... Leander was here, he'd pimp the book.
Yeah. I think he talked about that last show.
I'm glad you brought that up, speaking of the book, because I'm supposed to have something new from 12 South, who makes the book coming tomorrow. Apparently, they got a new iPhone 6 case coming out.
Have they not announced it yet? Oh,
it'll be out by the time the show is out, though. So yeah, they're updating the Surface Pad, so I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be, but
there's a lot of good stuff on Amazon too, for at least for our US listeners. I mean, a lot of it's kind of low quality. I really haven't found anything yet that is really... I want something simple in design, protective of the phone, and very aesthetically appealing. And I don't feel like there's anything out there that I've seen so far. Alex, yours looks really good, but I don't want something that covers the whole phone.
Okay. Well, if you don't want something, if you don't care about covering the back and you like having a little wallet thing so you don't have to carry your wallet around, this is the case to get, hands down.
Yeah, that one does look really good. What was the name of it again? The Mujo?
Mujo. MUJJO.com.
But they are from Europe. They're from the Netherlands. You'll have to import them. Yeah, but kind of spendy.
They're not actually that spendy. They cost about the same as an Apple case.
Really? How much is an Apple case?
An Apple case is like, what, 50, 40 bucks? Something like that. Mujo cases are about 40 euros, I think.
Yeah, that's not too bad for this case. It looks really beautiful. In any case, pro tip, as somebody who has been looking for new cases, the term vegan leather isn't actually not leather at all. It means pleather. The term vegan leather has become really popular. For people to rename, you know, pleather as something nicer than it actually is and actually add maybe like a connotation of environmental friendliness because, oh, it's not leather, it's vegan leather. It's like, dude, it's plastic. It's fuzzy plastic. That's what you made that out of. Don't pretend like it's something nicer than it actually is.
Sounds classy.
The 90s already had a word for it. It's pleather. You should just stick with that. Because, hey, there's nothing wrong with pleather, I don't think. I mean, I would say 85% of the outfits Buster wears when he goes dancing are made from that material. And he looks very good.
Yeah, it's very stretchy. It's a lot more forgiving, too.
In any case, let's go ahead and wrap it up there, fellows. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But you know what? If you want to tell us what kind of case you think we should be using on Twitter, that would be great. I'm at Erfan, Buster's BST3R. I was going to say Leander's L. Caney, but he's not here. Alex is Alex E. Heath. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos, and all of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys... Mr. Connery, would you send us out?
Next time.
It wasn't very enthusiastic, though. He's not a very big
next
fan of
next time.
There we go. Thank you.
Connery needs a lot of S's.
He needs a lot of S's to really make it shame.
Let me see here. Oh, I gotta bring up the Linda show notes here. Shies on me face. <Let's see. laughs> That's an old Irish saying. You never heard anyone say that, Leander?
No, I never heard that one before.
Shies on
funny.
Me face, yeah. If you ever hang out with Irish people, they love it when you say that.
All right, I'll test it out this weekend. I'm going to be hanging out with some.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Irish people. Are you guys going to go have some drinks?
Yeah, that might be on the,
the ticket. That's a silly question.
Well, actually, funny enough, it might not be because we're going to have a poker night on Sunday because that's the only time one of our buddies can make it.
Uh-huh.
And so... funny enough, the Irish guy's like, oh, I don't know, I gotta get up early in the morning for my lucky charms. I'm not gonna be drinking.
That's pretty good.
So everyone's like, Well, you know, either we switch it to Friday and get shit-faced on Jameson's, or we none of us is going to be drinking on Sunday.
There's no way none of you are going to be drinking. There's no way.
On Sunday we will, yeah. No, I can't, you know. We'll have to have a teetotaler. I've never played cards sober, though.
I know, it's not nearly except as much fun.
Except with the kids, nah.
But then they were drinking, right?
They knock him back. That's easy to take their money then.
That's why you stay sober, so you can take their money easier.
Yeah.
That's a good strategy.